Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Folks, welcome into the early line on Friday, and yes, it is a football Friday. Interesting night in college football, Major League Baseball heading down the backstretch. I'm Donnie Wrightside along with Kevin Walsh, and yes, as I said, this is the early line. Ready to get you going on a Friday, a big weekend in college football, and oh yeah, how about next week, next Thursday, the NFL kicks off. We have a lot of stuff to get to today. Let's start with the 7-7 headlines. A big second half for Ohio State to take down the Minnesota Golden Gophers in Minnesota. How about that football game? Now, we do a show at night on the radio, In Play Sports Tonight, both myself and Kevin. We watch this game all the way through. Interesting stuff in the first half, sure. Jumped out to a 10-0 lead for the Ohio State. And then you saw the Minnesota Golden Gophers fight back and even take a 14-10 lead at the half on Ohio State. Top five football team favored by close to 14 points at the closing line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Should have been an easy walkaway winner, but not so fast. You're now getting fans back into the stands. You have a quarterback that you need to break into big-time Division I football for Ohio State. And things didn't go accordingly in the first half, but that's okay. Because in college football, you got to get the feet under you. You got to hear that crowd noise for the first time in roughly 16, 18 months. You got to throw some passes that feel good and let your athletes be athletes. And that's exactly what happened with the Ohio State. As you take a look at the game plan for Ohio State coming out, it was pretty clear. You have a couple dominant running backs, decent offensive line, a young, talented quarterback, and maybe some of the best wide receivers in college football. How about C.J. Stroud last night? Finished up with 294 yards passing and 4 touchdowns. Folks, he only needs 13 completions to get that done. What a second half by Ohio State, putting 35 points on the board. And also, just to let you know how confident I was last night in Ohio State, both Kevin and I doing the radio show, and I said, hey, Kevin, it's 14-10. Even before it became 14-10, it was 10-7, the Ohio State driving the football, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and I told Kevin once they got in the red zone, let them score here. Make it 14-10, and I'm going to jump right in and take Ohio State, which I did at the half. They opened right up with a touchdown and were able to win this football game 45-31 running away. Sensational stuff for Ohio State. And I know Kevin does have a win total that he's looking at here with Ohio State. A nice victory game one as they move on to the rest of the football season as they go 1-0 in the Big Ten. Minnesota, of course, 0-1. How about this upset? It's week one of college football. These kids don't have a preseason. It's not the NFL, guys, right? So when you step out on the football field, that is the first time you are seeing live action in roughly a year. A 3-touchdown upset here. Tulsa, how about that? 19-17, they lose to UC Davis. Are you kidding me? That's what makes it a great thing in college football, right? You still have these kids. They're 18, 19, 20 years old. We don't know how they're going to react. But what a final finish there as Tulsa is upset 19-17. You're going to see this a lot over week 1, 2, and 3 when you're playing some of these out-of-conference opponents. Some teams will rise up. And how about UCF after what? 15-20 lightning strikes, I'm going to assume? And as we're taking a look and going over and saying, well, is this game even going to be played? And what type of situation are these kids actually going to be in? Well, you got into a 21-0 hole down at the bounce house at UCF. Unbelievable performance, Gus Malzahn. What are you doing, Gus? We hired you to win football games here. Why are you getting shut out at home? And how about that? A runaway victory late in the game, 36-31 UCF all the way back A late interception inside the red zone seals that for UCF. Let's welcome in the radio audience here. SiriusXM Channel 204, all our local affiliates listening in right now as we get you ready on a football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network with the early line. Keep it moving down the list here because, hey, there's a lot of things going on the field that we take a look at, right? But there's also a lot of big doings off the field as well. What do I mean by that? Expansion in the Big 12. Now, I don't agree with this. As we're taking a look to see who's actually expanding and what is actually going to take place here, you know, as you see on the screen here, confirm industry source that BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston have emerged as the four leading contenders in the Big 12. What are we doing, Big 12? You just lost Texas and Oklahoma, and we're trying to say BYU and UCF should step right in, and you should still have your major conference status. I don't think so in this case. I don't know if it's better for the Big 12 just to disband as opposed to expand, and other teams just look for other conferences to go to or those superpower levels, like we're talking about the SEC and maybe the SEC, or excuse me, the ACC with a bond with the Big 10, with the Pac 12. Maybe that makes a lot of sense that you can go over and see those teams going to other conferences and joining up and forming their superpowers themselves. We'll see what happens in the Big 12 off the field. I don't know. But if you're looking from a Big 12 perspective, for me, I think it's better off just to let it go. Let everybody go to different conferences and build on, because getting BYU, UCF, Houston, I don't think it's going to make a dent. And you're basically outside of that Power 5 at this point, and you should probably just join some other conferences here. Also, quickly here, the Giants level with the Dodgers now as we head into September. It was a quick wait there for the Dodgers to gain the lead, but a nice victory, 5-1 for the San Francisco Giants over the Milwaukee Brewers, settling in and saying, hey, we're still here. We hit the brakes. Now we're even. Let's see what happens in a big series this weekend. Also, Phillies and the Mets stay hot. The Phillies down 6-0 to the Washington Nationals. They come all the way back and win that baseball game 7-6, an amazing performance. And the Mets pick up a victory as well in their game. So here we go in the NL East. The same as the NL West. A lot of interesting doings here as we head into the final month of September. Quickly here, Cantlay Rahm lead the leaderboard here down in Atlanta. We'll be back. Stick with us right here on the early line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Folks, welcome back into the early line on a Friday morning. It is September 3rd, and that means it's time for some NFL football talk. We got you covered in college football. We know there is a massive card this weekend. In hour number two, we will hit that, both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and also Kevin Walsh. But let's talk some NFC football, and particularly the NFC East. We've done this all throughout the summer, prepping, getting ready, going over conference by conference, team by team, division by division. And today it's time to talk about the NFC East. Now, we usually like to start with some of the futures here. And it's interesting because usually every division that we go over, what happens? We talk Super Bowl, we talk conference championship, and then we talk in the division. So it's kind of interesting to see that I sort of skip right by the Super Bowl futures. But as you see, Dallas to win the Super Bowl, 30-1. And if you take a look at the conference for Dallas, 14-1, they're supposed to win the division here, at least odds-wise, as we take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But I don't know if that's going to be the case this year, because I've changed my mind quite a few times already on the NFC East over the past couple weeks. So if we take a look at the Dallas Cowboys sitting atop those standings here, odds-wise, second place, the Washington football team. And we actually had an odds move from yesterday from 400 to 450 with the New York football Giants, now tied with the Philadelphia Eagles as of this morning at plus 450 to win that division. So let's go over quickly team by team and what some of our general thoughts here on the NFC East are. As we take a look at the Dallas Cowboys, plus 150 to win the division here in the NFC East. If we take a look, Mike McCarthy coming back for another year. Am I particularly high on Mike McCarthy as a coach? Not really. But there is some talent around that offense that we certainly can look to provide some success on the football field. But you know what that comes around to here? It's Dak Prescott. Can Dak Prescott have a monster year for the Dallas Cowboys here? That is exactly what it comes down to. Because if you see him at quarterback and you see him playing well quarterback, that means the Dallas Cowboys are having a pretty good football season overall. Now, when I take a look and say on the field success versus off the field success, Michael Parsons gets taken in the draft, an elite pass rusher. When you take a look also here overall at some of the instances at wide receiver, you took CeeDee Lamb last year. That was a very good draft pick, had a dominant year. You also took a look the year before when you made a first-round draft pick and you traded for Amari Cooper. That was also interesting because it added some propelling parts to your offense and allowed Dak Prescott to mature into the quarterback that he is. And also Dak Prescott overall being a very good quarterback in the NFL with a chance possibly to win an MVP maybe. But overall, the prognostication for the Dallas Cowboys, what does it come down to? It's not necessarily offense. Still a decent offensive line. Dak Prescott still a really good quarterback overall. Zeke Elliott, we'll see if he has a bounce back season, can stay healthy. Looks in shape if you're watching Hard Knocks out here. Pollard is a very good running back. And as I said, a capable, more than capable wide receiving core. But it comes down to the defense. Can they get stops? They actually have a very good front four this year that they should be able to pressure the quarterback, get after the quarterback, get a lot of sacks on the quarterback. But the question is, overall, can their linebackers hold up from injuries? Can that secondary that we don't necessarily like all that well hold up against some dominant passing teams in the NFL? Should they be the odds-on favorite to win the division just by quarterback play and offense? Probably so. But then now let's take a look at the team that's technically second place in the division with the odds. That is the Washington football team. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes over as the quarterback, which I believe is a massive upgrade to what you had last year. Taylor Heinicke did a decent job, but as we take a look overall, what do they do really well? They play defense in Washington. A absolutely dominant front four, front seven, getting after the quarterback. Solid secondary, good offensive line, some weapons at wide receiver, and a good young running back that I think can do some damage here in Antonio Gibson. So I think they are set up for success here. The only issue is, as we take some time to take a look at the Washington football team and what they do and what they don't do well, we'll see how the offense gels. Because you still have a brand new quarterback. But the one thing you have to like about Ryan Fitzpatrick overall is the simple fact he's going to give his wide receivers a chance downfield. Alex Smith wasn't able to do that. Taylor Heinicke, a little young in his NFL career, but I did like what I saw out of him. Good athletic quarterback. Actually probably gave the Tampa Bay Buccaneers their best overall run last year once they got to the playoffs. But as we're going through and seeing what makes sense on this football team, it is going to be up to Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's been around the NFL for quite some time. And being around the NFL and having success are two different things. Regular season, last year with the Miami Dolphins, good season, and sort of bailed that football team out late in the year. Because Tua Tagovailoa wasn't quite ready, even though they let him sink or swim a couple times. But now Fitzpatrick, this is his team here. I don't think we're going to have a situation like we saw with the Miami Dolphins last year where he's coming in and out and maybe you boost up a younger quarterback. This is going to be his team to win a division. There's a legitimate chance to win it. Now, the issue I have with the Washington football team, which it seems like a lot of times here in this division in the NFC East, we'll get to the Philadelphia Eagles situation a little bit later. The schedule, very hard to begin the season, but I do think the wins can stack up on the back end because when we take a look here at the Washington football team, that team total is only 8.5. And keep in mind, once again, when we take a look at that 8.5, there's no longer a 16-game schedule. So, hey, Donnie, they go 8-8. What's going to take place here? Well, they didn't hit their number. There's an extra game in there, which is huge, to pick up that 9th win. And we're talking about football teams that we expect possibly to win the division and compete. That's one game over 500 that we're talking about. That's not that hard to do. Look at the opening of the schedule here for the Washington football team. The Chargers at home, the Giants at home. What is our worst case scenario there for the Washington football team? 1-1? Good possibility they go 2-0. But now we're starting to see this increase in schedule difficulty over the next couple weeks. You go on the road to the Buffalo Bills, who me, one of my favorite teams in the AFC and possibly a chance to win a National Football League championship in Buffalo. Yeah, they're that good. At the Atlanta Falcons, it's still a road game. I understand the Atlanta Falcons, we might not have a high, ceiling on them this year. But it's still a home game. It's in a dome. You're going to have 75,000 people cheering against you. We'll see how that one turns out. You have two home games, but two premier football teams coming to Washington to play. That's going to be the New Orleans Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think if you are a Washington football fan, if you're in the front office, you're on the football team, you would probably take a split out of those two games and be extremely happy with that. But how about the final two games before the bye week for the Washington football team? At the Green Bay Packers and at the Denver Broncos. Those are tough games and tough places to play after you just played the Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, if you are looking to back the Washington football team, the second half of the schedule, particularly the late half games, you know, in the late November, early November, late December, those type of games we're looking at, because they come right out of the bye week, which is probably where you want to get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2 weeks to prepare, get rested and ready, and get them at home. We'll see if they're able to pick up that W. At the Carolina Panthers, that should be a win. Seattle Seahawks coming West Coast to East Coast, but playing on a Monday night football game, so those body clocks still should be fine. We always talk about, hey, those West Coast teams coming East, they're going to play at 10 a.m., you know, basically Pacific time. How can they wake up? And, you know, creatures of habit are what NFL teams are. That's going to be a night game. We'll see how they play through. But then here we go. This is where you pick up games for the Washington football team here, right? It's the Dallas Cowboys at home. You can win that game. The Philadelphia Eagles on the road, still a division opponent on the road, to be a tougher game. You can win that football game. The Dallas Cowboys on the road, division game as well. You can win that football game. Then you get the Eagles at home in week 17 of the season. You should be able to win that football game. The Giants on the road, who I don't have very much high hopes for here in 2021, you should win. So if you are betting the season win total for the Washington football team, or even if you're betting them to win the division, and they get out to sort of a rocky start here after the bye week, I think the Washington football team can do some damage. So at a plus 200 here in the division, I think that's the way to go. And it wasn't too long ago, guys, that I was talking about the Dallas Cowboys being the best overall team in this division because they have the best quarterback. I sort of changed my tune a little bit here on the Washington football team. I think they have a legitimate chance to win this division because if we're looking at offenses once again, the Dallas Cowboys, to me, have the best offense in the NFC East. But if you're taking a look at defense, it's not even close between these four teams. It is the Washington football team with the best overall defense that should be to carry this. And as we're taking a look, it's not big prices here, as I said. 9.5 is a team total. 8.5 is a team total here for the Washington football team. So they're going to be neck and neck throughout this entire season in the NFC East, seemingly just like we saw last year. And we're going to talk a lot more football here, particularly in the NFC East, right here on the Early Line. So you're going to want to stick with us all the way up till 9 o'clock right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back here on the Early Line, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. It is a Football Friday, and we are centered right in on the NFC East as we keep rolling along. And we're just going over the football team. Hey, guys, get a nickname out there, would you? So we don't have to call you the football team. The Washington football team schedule as they head down the back stretch. And, you know, just going over the team totals once again in the division itself as we work our way down to the bottom. It hurts me to say, you guys know I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Hurts me to say I'm not already talking about my Philadelphia Eagles here, but there is some decent action. Maybe they can build up in the second half of the schedule. We'll get that in just a few moments. But as we wind down here and take a look at the team totals in the division overall, 9.5 at a plus 115 for the Cowboys, it seems a little bit rich to me. It almost seems like we have the same sort of scenario that we took a look at last year with the NFC East, where these teams are battling who's even going to be 500, who's going to win the division, and does it even matter if who wins the division heading into the playoffs? We were even talking about a lot of instances last year where maybe the NFC East should not host a playoff game because of how bad the division is. I don't think that's ever going to happen with a restructuring. And you saw last year, Washington won the division, got bounced out early in those playoffs by the world champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But again, with the Washington football team just wrapping it up, I like them. And I didn't like them just a couple months ago. I thought it was going to be Dallas's year, but maybe not over enthusiastic about what I'm seeing from the Dallas Cowboys, particularly in the preseason. But it all hinges around Dak Prescott. A, if that ankle is healthy, okay. B, now we're worried about a shoulder injury and see if that flares up during the regular season. But those two top teams, I do think they're going to do battle for the NFC East Championship. Let's slide it down here because, as I said, we did have an interesting line move just yesterday. For the longest time, it was the Philadelphia Eagles bringing up the rear in the NFC East, at least odds-wise here. And if we take a look at a plus 450 number at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know who's even with them now? The New York Football Giants at the same number of plus 450. Just yesterday, The New York Giants were a plus 400 and the Philadelphia Eagles were a plus 450. So down sliding back. And if we take a look at the team totals here for both of those football teams, we'll start with the Philadelphia Eagles here at a 6.5 minus 150, which means you just have to get the 7 victories. Now in the past, that would be 7 victories and 9 losses, but you have the extra football game today this year. So 7-10 can cover that. Now, again, as we take a look at the Washington football team and their schedule, which is a little bit tougher on the back end, that is at least what you have with the Philadelphia Eagles. Because the schedule that starts out with a young head football coach in Nick Sirianni, this isn't advantageous, and maybe the honeymoon in Philadelphia, if there ever was one, would take place and say, hey, give the guy a chance. But you're opening up once again on the road at the Falcons. Do I think the Eagles possibly can win the football game? Sure. Because again, I don't have high hopes on the Atlanta Falcons. But then you face the San Francisco 49ers, one of the better teams in the NFC coming into Philadelphia. Then you go on the road and play the Dallas Cowboys, who odds-wise here at the FanDuel Sportsbook do have enough odds or sitting on the top of the odds board to win the division. So theoretically, they are the favorite. Then you have the Kansas City Chiefs at home and on the road against the Carolina Panthers. So when you take a look at football teams that you want to rack up victories, you hear me say this a lot during the regular season and throughout the football season here on the early line. It's very hard to win football games on the road in the NFL. So if you were the Philadelphia Eagles, you might have felt a little bit better if you had these games flip-flopped. I know you can't do that, but I'm just saying, you know, bear with me on this. The 49ers on the road, you probably take the loss anyway, right? But if you had the Falcons at home to open the season, you might be favorites in that game, or at least roughly down to a pick'em. The same thing as we take a look a little bit later in the schedule with the Carolina Panthers on the road. You probably can beat the Carolina Panthers if you had them at Lincoln Financial Field, but the fact that it's on the road, that makes it a little bit tougher. So as we go through the Philadelphia Eagles schedule to start right up through that bye week, it's tough. Chiefs, Panthers, Buccaneers, you're going, again, at the Raiders. If that was home, you'd like that game a lot more. At the Detroit Lions, the same way. It's on the road. Can you beat that football team? Sure you can. But it's a lot easier to win that football game if it's at home. But the maturation process here of Jalen Hurts is going to be big as we take a look at some of those highlights there. Electric with his legs. Can make things happen. But now the NFL does have a couple games and a couple books here on Jalen Hurts. But here's the good part about what we're going into for the 2021 season with Jalen Hurts. You don't have a book on him under Nick Sirianni. And you didn't see him play a lot in the preseason. There's not a lot to go off of. From everything we heard here in the city of Philadelphia, forget the preseason games. The practices went really well against the New England Patriots, the two that they had before they played. The other two practices that they had against the New York Jets seemingly did very well against the Jets in those practice series. And that's going to bode well because a lot of these coaches, as we switch over later into the NFL, into the future, you are going to have a lot of football teams that are going to say, hey, let's not put a lot of stock in the preseason and much more into those practices. And I think that makes sense. But the back end of the schedule, if you're looking for the Philadelphia Eagles to make some ground, you're paying some heavy juice here at the 6.5 minus 150. Don't get me wrong. Do I think there's 7 wins on the schedule? It's very close. Keep in mind, this isn't baseball where we're dealing with a 162-game season. You have 17 games. These numbers are going to be pretty sharp and probably come within that hook that we're looking at. Whether or not your question is if the Eagles can win 6 games or 7 games, that is going to cash your ticket. If you don't think they can, you obviously would sit on the under 6.5 and hope that they don't get out to a very good start at all. And by the time the back half of the season rolls around, they're injured. They're not really focused on football. They're looking for high draft picks. Because one thing we do know with Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles, if it comes down to the last game of the season and the Philadelphia Eagles are out of the playoffs, they will put third string quarterbacks in a close football game in prime time to ensure they get a draft pick high enough to take a player like Devonta Smith. Now let's scroll down and say, all right, we talked about the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about, you know, the young emerging weapons that they have, Jalen Reagor, Devontae Smith. They should be decent on the edges, but they are still very young at wide receiver. If this offensive line that was unbelievably in so much shambles last year in 2020, they're coming back primarily healthy this year. One of the better right sides in football. You know, left side, we'll see who figures out that left tackle. Mailata, the kid that we probably heard a lot about of, an Australian rules football player that comes over at a young age and looks like he might be a dominant left tackle. He's going to get the start there. So there is a question mark there. But Kelsey at center, Brooks at right guard, and then Lane Johnson at right tackle. You have some success. If they stay healthy, they can move the football. Jalen Hurts should have protection, not running for his life like last year. Miles Sanders at the running back position here. Even when you slide it down and take a look at some of the props here at the running back position, which we'll take a look at a little bit later, he's at 1,000 yards. That's 58 yards per game here. 58 yards per game for Miles Sanders, a starting running back. And oh yeah, as we said, it's no longer 16 games. It's 17 games. He is the primary back. Is Boston Scott going to be stealing this away? I don't think so. This is Miles Sanders' team in the backfield here. Possibly a third down running back, which means he'll be in there in first down. He'll be in there in second down. He will be in there on third down. And if you need them all the way through, I don't think the Eagles are probably going to be in a position week 17 to say, hey, we wrapped up the number one overall seed, and we're going to sit Miles Sanders when he has 975 yards. No, 1,000-yard running back here over 17 games near the lead back. You should be able to do some damage in this. Because as we take a look at some of the end of the NFC East props at running back as well, Ezekiel Elliott, 1,150. That's his total. Gibson at 1,025, which I don't want to say Gibson is a dark horse here. I think he is a phenomenal talent, and there's no reason to believe that Gibson cannot get over that total. If you break it down, 60 yards per game for Gibson in Washington, where if you think we're going to play really good defense out here and run the football, that makes a lot of sense. But I don't want to leave the New York Football Giants out of here. So we'll talk a little bit about them at a plus 450 number. Their team total on the season is sitting at a 7. And the one team that I want to say has gone under the radar, for me at least, in the NFC East, and the least talked about from me over the offseason, has to be the New York Football Giants. I'm just not sold on their head football coach, Joe Judge. You know, a lot of high school Harry type activity, making grown men millionaires do push-ups and sit-ups and run gassers and having your coaches do it as well. If your position players don't perform, you run with them. Talks about fist fights last year during practices, coaches being let go, guys coming over, signing as free agents, lasting a few days and saying, you know what? I've been around the league for quite some time. It's time for me to hang it up because I just don't feel like running gassers and doing push-ups here late into the season. But as we take a look at the Giants overall, they do have decent weapons at wide receiver. The one guy we always want to focus on, actually, there's two guys you focus on here for 2021 and how the Giants season is going to look. Saquon Barkley in the backfield. We just had the running back props up just a few moments ago. We didn't hear a lot of Saquon Barkley on the field or hear him talk other than say, boy, guys, I don't know when I'm coming back at this point. Hey, Saquon, you going to be ready for OTAs? Don't know. Saquon, you going to be ready once we get to training camp? Don't know. Saquon, will you be there opening night? Don't know. You have to find out and tune in. So it leads me to believe they're probably going to ease Saquon Barkley back from this knee injury, being a franchise running back guy. You invested a high pick. We'll see if you're going to have to pay him at the end of this contract, but you at least want to see what he has at full gas. And that doesn't look like that's going to be over the first 2 to 3 weeks of the NFL season. But as you take a look at the talent that Saquon Barkley is, you take a look at that number sitting at 1,175. Which is 69 yards per game for Saquon Barkley. If I were to tell you Saquon Barkley was 100% healthy, he blows that away, doesn't he? I mean, Daniel Jones is going to need all the help he can get. And what better help it is to be on your own 22-yard line on 3rd and 3 and hand it off to Saquon Barkley for a monster chunk in game? Or how about if Saquon Barkley is healthy and he's running well in 2021? The play action game, because the one thing we do know about Daniel Jones, I'm not particularly high on him overall as a passer, but you can say he's got the mobility back there certainly lined up. So you run a little read option, a little play action pass, roll him out on bootlegs left and right. He could do some damage. And we're going to continue our talk here in the NFL on a Football Friday right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, we got you covered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back. You're in. Can't be back. I'm in, though. We're here. The Early Line. What's going on, everybody?
a Football Friday. Look, all week long, Donnie's been begging to just roll solo. You got to give the people what they want. Donnie wants to do it by himself. I'll let him do it by himself here. But we're excited to be back in the mix. Donnie's been crushing an NFC East preview here. Donnie, I believe we're on the cusp of some awards and props chatter.
Yeah, we are talking about some props and chatter to go over. We're just wrapping up the NFC East totality, Kevin, here, and saying, you know, the odds move yesterday, which I thought was kind of interesting. Doing the numbers, the Philadelphia Eagles were at a plus 450 and the Giants were at a plus 400. Those are now even up, and I got to say, I tend to agree with here, and I was just going over the first prop that was very interesting from a Giants perspective. I don't necessarily like, you know, the passing props or the passing odds for Daniel Jones. I really didn't deep dive into those too much. But I thought the Saquon Barkley one, Kevin, was interesting because he pops up on the FanDuel Sportsbook at an 1175 for the season. Now, we don't know if we're getting healthy Saquon or 10-carry game Saquon, and we're going to keep him under wraps till week 9, and maybe if we need him, we can use him a lot. But that's 69 yards per game. If he was completely healthy, Kevin, he would blow that out of the water, but it's one of those where you're taking a swing early on because that line is low at 1175, and you're hoping he is that dominant running back that we expect. But I do think that is a fascinating prop on whether or not you land on, yes, he's healthy, or no, I think the Giants take it slow.
The description of it is perfect from you, Donnie. It's a fascinating number. I don't think it's one that I can play because – is it too early to call a guy injury prone? Is it unfair to call a guy injury prone? Obviously, last year was, you know, season ending early, early on, but he missed a chunk of games in 2019 as well. And the one thing that we know, Donnie, when you are betting high-end players, the Mahomes of the world, the Derrick Henrys of the world, the DeAndre Hopkins of the world, when you're betting their season-long overs, you need them to play the entire season. Now, maybe you get a lower number than you thought, or maybe there's a little bit of wiggle room if they're having monster seasons. But for the most part here, if I told you that Saquon plays 17 games, there's no hesitation. I agree. You slap the over. The thing is, Donnie, if they set an over-under on Saquon Barkley games, it's probably not going to be 16.5. You look through some of the other running backs, and I'll say, Donnie, the Eagles running back and Miles Sanders is one that I can't figure out what to do with his numbers. I can't figure out what the Eagles are really looking to do with Miles Sanders. All of the chatter throughout this offseason has not really been incredibly committal to Miles Sanders. Again, I think he's incredibly talented here, but I don't know if the workload is going to match up to the talent.
I got to tell you, I think it's very interesting overall. As we take a look at the graphic up here, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, you got Gibson, Barkley, and Sanders. Of those four running backs to me, Kevin, Zeke at 1150, which equates, I like to, it's funny because you take a look at the 1,000 yards, say, oh, that seems like it's a really good season. But it sort of changes my mindset when I just look for game to game. And we try to anticipate, Kevin, that these running backs are going to play, or any football player that comes in the season healthy is going to play 17 games. Like, do you think Zeke Elliott can get 67 yards per game? I think he can. Miles Sanders, Kevin, 58 yards a game. He's the lead back. Like, Kenneth Gainwell's a rookie. Boston Scott is okay. He can fill in from time to time. But I think he's going to get the bulk of the carries. And to equate Miles Sanders at a 1,000-yard season at only 58 yards per game, when you think about that, all it takes, Kevin, is one game to be 122 yards, another game to be 104 yards, and you are well on your way. Because I think if a starting running back on the Philadelphia Eagles, Kevin, is rushing for 35 yards a game, they are getting blown out, or maybe you're taking Jalen Hurts every single way across the board, touchdown passes over, you know, yards over, an MVP possibly, because that means he has a monster season because nothing is doing out of the running back position. But also Gibson at 1025 down in Washington, if I think they're going to play really good defense and lean on their running game, that's only 60 yards a game. Fascinating stuff. I actually like Gibson and Sanders the best out of that lot here.
I think I like Zeke the most. I think I might love the Zeke numbers. See, the odd thing is last year, Donnie, there was a point where I legitimately was open to the idea that Ezekiel Elliott wasn't even the most talented running back on the Dallas Cowboys. Boy, he looked awful during stretches of last season. But boy, has he been an elite running back since day one. He ran for 1,600 yards his rookie season. He has gone over the near 11 to 1,200 range that his prop is in. Three of his five seasons in the NFL, the two exceptions, the year where he missed six games because of suspension, he would have once again easily blew past that number. He had 983 yards in 10 games. And then last year. And again, last year was a complete mess, but I almost wonder, Donnie, if you're buying an absolute dip here on Ezekiel Elliott. And even if people wanted to take some bigger swings on him to have the most rushing yards throughout the NFL season, because this is a guy that, again, you have to go way down the board. I mean, 2,100. There are two NFC East running backs in front of Zeke in terms of most rushing yards in the NFL this year. I think the Zeke number is very well one that I could see myself playing. If I get health, and to be honest with you, Zeke's actually been healthy. Again, the six games that he missed that sophomore season were all related to the suspension here. I think there's a good chance that Zeke blows past his numbers. But Donnie, to tie it into some of the Dak numbers here, one, is this team really just going to be pass happy, pass happy, pass happy? Two, do they have a choice if their defense is as awful and dreadful as it was last year? Three, am I damaged on Zeke's props if Dak is going to miss a handful of games?
I don't know. I you know what? That's an interesting proposition, because as you take a look, it should be maybe even a helpful thing if Dak Prescott is not there, because you lean more on the running game. Maybe his usage rate goes up. But you can also equate the same thing, Kevin, that if Dak Prescott is out there, that means everybody is going to be pass happy. But the times that you get to run the football, if you get 15 to 20 touches, those DBs, you're in a lot of nickel formations on the defense, dime formations. He can have a lot of running room overall. But if we take a look at Dak Prescott, if I was able to come into this season, Kevin, with Dak and say he's completely healthy, let's just take a look at the ankle injury. Couple surgeries here, clean it out, but he looks good. The fact that I start to get nervous here is sometimes when the body breaks down, Kevin, it overcompensates. And I think that's really what happened in training camp here. When you're coming back off the ankle, maybe I don't want to use as much torque here in training camp. I'm just going to use a lot more upper body and arm strength, which happened to strain his throwing shoulder. If that's really the case, where he still has that ankle injury on his mind, is he going to be able to roll out? Because keep in mind also, AT&T Stadium, hard surface. That's turf. That's indoors. So let's see how that ankle holds up on the pounding that it's going to take from a lot of artificial turf surface games. But when I'm taking a look overall and you see Dak Prescott here, because I know you've brought this up in the past. If you looked at last year before Dak got hurt, he might have set the NFL record here in passing yards. So when you try to equate and see that high number, 4775, well, yeah, he's got to throw to close for 5,000 yards. That's a great season. That's 280 a game. Last year, Kevin, he would have obliterated that. But as I look at the Dallas Cowboys, I sort of lose a little bit of steam on Dak Prescott, because it's one of those, sometimes I want to wait and see a quarterback after what I thought he would be just coming off ankle surgery, but then you miss a lot of training camp for your shoulder. That could flare up again, and that could do some damage.
I just want to circle back, because, Don, I know you talked already about the top of the division, but this is all relative to the Dak stuff here, because one thing that I've often pushed back on people is the folks who feel like the Dallas Cowboys would have ran away and hid with this division had Dak not been injured. That is revisionist history. That completely ignores the context of last season. Dak started and finished four football games last year for the Cowboys. They won one of them. And the game that they won was the impossible collapse at the hand of the Atlanta Falcons, 40-39. So I don't know if that is true. And I don't think that the Dallas Cowboys want Dak Prescott to go out there and throw the ball, 70 times a game. I mean, I actually shouldn't even exaggerate. He was throwing the ball nearly 45 times a game last season. It was unbelievable the amount that Dak Prescott needed to do when he was actually out there for that Cowboys team, because of how far behind the eight ball that team was playing. But it makes the wide receiver props quite interesting, Donnie. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb both with numbers. And it's so fascinating because you have two high pedigree guys in terms of where they were drafted, right? The college production. The NFL has already shown that these guys are going to contribute at a high level. But I think where you have to figure out is who's wide receiver one on this Dallas team.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite props here to try to differentiate here in the NFC East, because there is a lot of value. And a lot of times, Kevin, you know what we've been doing here throughout watching these props move on the FanDuel Sportsbook is we're trying to take value. And it seems like we're staying away from guys on the upper echelon because, once again, it is football. Do we think dominant players can be dominant over 17 games? Sure we do. But I always get nervous when you take a look at wide receiver position, running back position, all it takes is a hamstring tweak. And that number that you were hoping for, 1,300 yards, 1,200 yards, 1,100 yards, goes up in smoke. But if you're asking me about the Dallas Cowboys, I got to tell you, Amari Cooper is one of the best weapons in the NFL at wide receiver. Dak Prescott loves to throw him. He's put up monster numbers in his career, particularly in Dallas. But I keep getting back to CeeDee Lamb and that talent and going, now, wait a second, Kevin. Again, change your eye frame here. 1,000-yard wide receiver, hey, he has to have a good season. But if you're telling me CeeDee Lamb can't average 61 yards per game throughout the 17 games, I love that wager. It jumps out off the page. Even though when you equate Amari Cooper as 70 yards a game at 1,200 yards, he should still have a chance to get it. But I don't feel like, Kevin, you can spread it around because you still have Michael Gallup out there. He's a decent wide receiver. Zeke's going to get a lot of touches. But those two guys are going to fight each other to have those big football games. It's amazing. I just trust CeeDee Lamb more, even though he's only in very early in his NFL career, 1,000 yards roughly to get. I think CeeDee Lamb gets that. Do we call him overall, Kevin, the number one wide receiver on the Dallas Cowboys? Probably not, but he's good enough to get 1,000 and average 61 yards a game. I really like that prop on the over to CeeDee Lamb.
What's funny on the other side of it, Donnie, is there hasn't really been any numbers that have jumped out as clear unders, right? If we were going to lean that way, it's again, superstars where it's more of a pass than an under. Amari would be one of the few that I actually might consider because we've always talked about you have the benefit of injury in your back pocket if you do bet an under on these numbers. Amari misses three games, you're probably going to win your bet. But there's so many other things that could play out, Donnie, in terms of just them not throwing the football anywhere near as much as they did. Dak being injured, and that certainly could mess some things up as well. Or CeeDee Lamb passing him. That 1,200-yard mark for Amari might be a little bit steep here. Donnie, I'll go open board because we only have about a minute or so left here within this segment. Any other NFC East props, season awards, or anything else that you want to make sure that we get to?
There's a couple of awards. Devonta Smith, Rookie of the Year, 20-1. It's a nice price on him at a 21 ticket, but what is he going to have to do, Kevin? You get 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, and the Philadelphia Eagles have a great football season for him to win that probably. You know, Dak Prescott, MVP, 17-1. Okay. I'll tell you what is interesting from a Philadelphia Eagles perspective. Hurts at 50-1 to win MVP. If they can make it to the playoffs, he has a big season. He might be in on that, but not necessarily do I think he can win it. I'm just talking about the price at 15-1 does make some sense here. But from a wide receiver position, the Giants did flash somebody up. How about this? A rookie that can't seem to get out of his own way, Kadarius Toney, the young talented kid from Florida. His prop, Kevin, 450 yards on the season, 26 yards per game. 26 yards per game. If he's available 17 games, he probably should get that overall. But I'm not in love with a lot of those props outside of CeeDee Lamb's 1050. And again, as I said, Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson, I like their props to the over as well.
The Eagles props that I'm interested in, Devonta Smith's over receiving yards. I think he's by far and away wide receiver one in Philly. Jalen Hurts rushing yards. I think it's criminally low. The number is way too low, 625.5. He's going to run the football. It's how he is going to succeed in this league, if he is going to succeed in this league. All right, we will wrap up hour number one of the Early Line right here on a Football Friday on Sports Grid when we come back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of hour number one right here on the Early Line. Hour number two, college football, college football, college football. There's basically an NFL game on, Clemson, Georgia. We're going to break it all down. I cannot wait. I just want to put the final touches here on our NFC East preview. This is our last division preview. Next week when we get back, we will kind of have the final submissions of the season-long wagers in the NFL that we want to play, similar to what we did with that Win Total Wednesday during this week on college football. But Donnie, the one thing I wanted to kind of make the point on, because I wasn't here to start the show, and I've made this point to basically anyone that I've talked about as it pertains to the NFC East. And if you tell me that you're on the Dallas Cowboys because Dak's by far and away the best quarterback, no problem. You're telling me that you're taking a long shot there on the Birds or the Giants because anybody can win this division, no problem. I cannot, I will not get behind the Washington football team. I think they are wildly, wildly overrated. I cannot comprehend how people have decided to transition Ryan Fitzpatrick to a veteran quarterback, a steady hand who doesn't turn the football over. I don't even know what that means. People talk about the defensive performances to finish last season. Oh, when they played Dallas's backup quarterback, when they played the Niners' backup quarterback, when they played the Carolina Panthers, when the game was handed to them because they took Jalen Hurts out of the football game. What are we actually talking about here? When they were playing good offenses with real quarterbacks, they were getting 30 points hung on them regularly. Chase Young is a megastar. Bet him for Defensive Player of the Year. No problem. I cannot and will not get behind the Washington football team. There are Super Bowl tickets out there. DM me your Super Bowl tickets. I'll play bookmaker if I have to. I can't believe this.
I like it. And this is why we differentiate sometimes on our opinions, because I'm a little bit higher now, which I wasn't a couple weeks ago on the Washington football team. But when I look at their team, I look at it and say, there's not as many question marks as I have from the other teams in the division. I have a great defensive line, a great offensive line, added weapons at wide receiver, a quarterback that can push the football down the field. I flipped on Washington, Kev, plus 200. Sign me up in the NFC East. Oh, it hurts to say.
Donnie, they have a literal walking question mark playing quarterback. It's no. Hour number two, college football's around the corner.